Good morning. Welcome to Plank Chapel of the United Methodist Church. I'm Ron Gustafson, your liturgist for this morning. We're blessed to have you worship with us today. We welcome everyone, including children and youth. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith in action. A couple announcements before we start. The Board of Trustees will meet Monday, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. in Fellowship Hall. All trustee members are requested to attend. We give thanks to God for everyone who joined us last night at the gathering. There's going to be a pause for the gathering July through September, and it will resume on October 3rd. Special appreciation to Beth Heaton, Deb Newman, and their team for their servant leadership. The North Carolina Conference is coming up. It'll be held June 18 to 20 at Greenville Community Center in Greenville, North Carolina. Nancy Gustafson, Peggy Hernandez, Christina DeJesus, and Pastor Edgar will be attending this year. And Pastor Edgar will be leading an acolyte training in the upcoming months, either this month or July. Contact him if you'd like to join. We already have some children and youth registered, and that's something we want to bring back here to Plank Chapel. So we're excited about that. And as of today, an offering of more than almost $11,000 from 12 churches in our district for the Miracle Sunday offering, and the conference has committed $185,000 plus to that initiative. Praise the Lord for the giving results of the districts and the conference, and we're not done with this yet, so this is going to continue to receive funding as we started May 17. Any other announcements for the congregation this morning?
We have book club next Sunday at 4:15.
Okay, book club next Sunday at 4:15 in Fellowship Hall, right, Susan? Okay. Okay, United Women in Faith next Sunday as well at 3 o'clock. And just a note, too, there's no journey in June. We'll resume in July, so we'll send out some notification on that. Any other announcements? If not, please open your bulletins and follow along in the call to worship. Break down the barriers that divide us, O Lord.
Tear down the walls of hostility.
Melt the barbed wire of anger and hatred.
Breathe new life into your people, O God.
For we are called to newness in Christ Jesus.
We are all brothers and sisters through God's love.
Come, let us worship the God who removes obstacles from our paths.
Let us praise God who seeks to unite us in peace.
Amen. Amen. Please now join in the opening prayer. Open our hearts today, O Lord, to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen, not only with our ears, but with our spirits, for your words of compassion and healing. Enable us to become more faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in the name of Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now stand as you are able and join in the opening hymn, number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Our help, our healer, in the flood.
Please join now in our affirmation of faith, also printed in your bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may all be seated, and I'd like to invite, if you would like to be proud to call yourselves kids, we're going to have a little children's moment at this time. Well, good morning. Come on here. Well, we can all stand. I'm just going to want to show you something. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to have, do you know what it is? It is Holy Communion. And what is exciting about our Holy Communion is that it's an open table. An open table? Open table means that it's open for everyone. And today I'm going to be preaching about a story about God encountering or dining in, Jesus in dining in with the sinners. And he sat down and had dinner with a tax collector and with those that are considered should not be at the table. But Jesus extended and widened that table to include everyone. So that means that God's love is for all people. Okay? And we are supposed to embrace that also in our lives today. So let's pray together. Thank you, God, for reminding us that your table is wide enough to welcome everyone. And bless us, O Father God, as we become welcoming and open to everyone, regardless of who they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Want to get one? And go to, Miss Judy will have children's church for you today. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today is the second Sunday in Lent. I welcome you all in the name of God, who is our Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here today, and also would like to welcome those that are able to worship with us online. We are live streamed today. Thank God there's no disruption. And if you happen to be, I know Scott is cheering up there at the back, so if you happen to be joining us today, please feel free to put your name on the chat room, and we'll just want to acknowledge you and express our gratitude that you're able to connect with us here in our worship service today. The season of Pentecost reminds us that God's Spirit is continually hovering and working in our midst today. God is reminding us that Pentecost is not a one-time event. It is a season. It is a time wherein we see the work of the Spirit in every aspects of our lives, even today. So where have we experienced the power of the Holy Spirit lately, since the last time we have gathered? Let's have a witness today, some witnesses today. Where have we experienced God's Spirit lately? I can start. Let's start with the gathering yesterday. Thank God we have the gathering yesterday. Shall we thank God? I think we got wonderful number of people that were there, and The Spirit is so powerful. We had a great speaker from the hospice care that came over. And by the way, if you happen to have a chance to go back to the fellowship hall, grab some flyers about the hospice care that Medicis, right? Medicis, right. Kelly did a wonderful job. She goes to a Baptist church in Oxford. I was able to chat with her briefly. And what is life-giving for me is to hear her give us a vivid picture of what they do and how we handle the end of life in a very dignified way. I'm sure many of us here have experienced taking care of your loved ones in the end of life. And it's not easy. And she helped us get a glimpse of what that looked like from the hospice perspective. So please grab those flyers. They're up there at the table, their information table. So thank God for that, for the gathering, Beth. Thank you, Beth and Deborah, for leading us. And we will transition Beth and Deborah at the end of the year. We will have also Peggy and Joni for leading that beginning 2027 as they carry on the gathering to the next level by God's grace. So thank you, Joni, for taking the mantle along with Peggy at the beginning of 2027. Amen. Any praise and thanksgiving to God? Peace in our hearts, yes. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Any other praise and thanksgiving to God? The journey last Sunday is another God's moment. Thank God. We see that God's moments and the seeds are being scattered. And as the Bible says, let God do the increase. Amen? The scattering of the seeds are very important in our season today. The new book club, as what Susan and I, Susan shared yesterday to me, it was just life-giving to see six or seven folks coming to that new book club. So, thank you, Susan, for leading that project.
And I did a coffee corner here on Wednesday, and it was a real positive experience. We had a really deep-seated talk with people who were usually shy. It was really wonderful.
Oh, great. Okay. Praise God. I thank God for the newsletter. If you don't know how the newsletter works, it's not by one person. It's a village. So I thank God for those that are involved with this, Ryan and Lori Litton, and it takes a while to build that. So you're seeing the finished product of that newsletter, but that requires a lot of efforts, a lot of gifts and graces being pulled in. So if you happen to have a chance to grab one before you leave, just remember that it's a gift and graces of God through the people of Plank Chapel Church. We see God's presence also in the midst of challenges in life. I had a chance to see Mr. John Rogers yesterday before I go to the gathering, and I keep on asking, do you know who I am? And again, do you know who I am? And we need to pray for him. I gave him two bulletins of the church. We prayed together. And I think he's that stage that he's kind of slowly losing the memory part. But one thing that was that moved me in my conversation with him, when he said this word, "Go forth and serve the Lord." He said that to me. Go forth and serve the Lord. Can you say that with me, church? Go forth and serve the Lord. And she beamed with smile. And I said, "Mr. John, that was a wonderful word that I will never forget." It was a joy to see him yesterday. I believe Brian is doing well. Janet, thank you for the update when I chat with you. Thank God for that healing and restoration. Shall we give a hand to God for that? For Brian, we've been praying for. Yes. The stubborn part of him, right? Thank God.
Pastor Victor, yes. Something that Beth said yesterday, it's a phrase, but kind of sort of. She was talking about how we should step outside of our comfort zone sometimes and just share something with somebody. You never know how it's going to affect them. And the more I've grown, I've learned that when God puts something on your heart, don't ignore it. And it might be something tiny, but it might be something big. So.
Did you hear what Susan said? Don't ignore it. When God calls you to do something.
Yeah, if you don't think it's the normal thing to do, don't dismiss it. You know, that's, if you feel like you're being led to do something, just step outside your box and do it. I mean, what's the worst thing that can possibly happen?
You can have to join the choir.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's embarrassment? It goes away.
I've been reminded of the story of Jonah, who keeps on resisting the invitation from God. He ended up in the belly of a whale for him to realize that he needs to listen. So don't be... That's right. So one of the things I learned over the years of my ministry is the ability for us to have a gift of discernment. And I think we need to harness that gift of listening to God and connecting ourselves to the Word of God so that we are more attuned to the will of God. The more we study the Word of God, the more we know the will of God. If we don't know the Word of God, we cannot know what God's purpose for our lives. And we will always be in the mindset of what the world dictates rather than what the Kingdom of God says to us. So thank you, Susan, for your
again, I was just
challenge and instruction for us.
Coming off of what Beth said yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it's important.
God's presence is also among us, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Our prayer are for the people of Ohio. I believe there was some shooting there in the news. So that's another incident of shooting in our country, where shooting is more like a normal thing. So let's pray for that particular community that was affected by the shooting, that people find healing and recovery and restoration. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for the ongoing uncertainties happening in the Middle East and across the world. Would you join with me as we lift up all these joys and concerns in our hearts? O loving and holy God, we confess that we hold tightly to our pride and resist your transforming grace. You offer us freedom and a welcome place in your family, yet we struggle trying to earn what you have already given. We cling to our old ways of doing and thinking. You call us your beloved children. And so, God, help us hear and claim our new identity. Lord, we pray that you will free us from the bonds of limited imagination and empower us to thrive in the life that you have given to us, a life of faith and grace. Lord, we lift up all these joys and concerns in our hearts this morning, for we ask this in the name of Jesus, who is our Christ, our Savior. And let us be continually in the moment of silent confession at this time. Hear now these words of assurance. Christ's love is faithful and true. God's blessings are sure. Be encouraged, dear friends. Your faith has made you well. Thanks be to God. Amen. Blessed with God's love, let's share one another the signs of peace and blessing and love for one another. Now in this time of worship and in the weeks ahead, you can just wave your hands or you can handshake or hug your neighbors. Whatever you feel comfortable, the most important thing is just to share this peace of Christ visibly to our neighbors, to show the love of Christ to each other. God. Thank you, choir. Last week, I received this letter from the conference. It came from the treasurer's office, signed by the conference treasurers, recognizing Plank Chapel, that's United Methodist Church. Thank you. Thank you, Plank Chapel United Methodist Church, for fulfilling 100% of the apportionment covenant in 2025. Shall we give a hand to God for this? Wonderful recognition. What does this mean? This means God's overflowing generosity is evident in the life of God's church at Plank Chapel. This means that every time you put a tithe or an offering at the offering plate, it helps Africa University in Zimbabwe. Every time you put a tithe and offering, it helps a historically black college in Winston-Salem, in Mississippi, in Alabama, to provide scholarships. It helps ministries such as Camp Donley, Camp Chestnut Ridge, and Rockfish, three of our camping ministries. And we can go on and say to you what apportionment does. So thank you, Plank Chapel. Thank you for the gifts of your generosity. May we invite our ushers as we give our tithes and offering at this time. Oh, generous God, what more can we say but say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity, your provision for us, every aspect of our lives. Our hearts are with you, Father God, as we offer these gifts of tithes and offering. Accept this for your glory and for your honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing together, if you're able, number 277. Be seated. Before we pray for the prayer for illumination, I just want to thank you for your understanding. This past week, my cell phone got it died. It was broken, and I was not able to make communications. As a result of that, I was not able to retrieve my all my contact information. I finally gave up. I said, my daughter's always asking me, "Daddy, when are you going to change your phone?" So I finally realized this is the time. So it's going to take a while because we're going to do, we'll have all the information. Hopefully I can still retrieve all the information that I have. All your numbers are on my cell phone. So, yes. So if you communicate with me by a text, please mention your name because I won't recognize it from my own end. So thank you for those that have done that so far. So with that being said, let's ready ourselves in the reading of the word by praying together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us come to this word open to being surprised. Silence our agendas, banish our assumptions, cast out our casual detachment, confound our expectations, clear the cobwebs from our ears, penetrate the corners of our hearts with this word. We know that you can. We pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. Our lectionary brings us back to Matthew's gospel. I invite us all to open on the first book of the New Testament. If you happen to worship with us online, I also invite you also to grab a Bible with you, whether you're home or in whatever place you are. You can also use your cell phone. Matthew chapter 9 is our assigned reading. So we'll be reading the ninth verse, beginning on the ninth verse of Matthew chapter 9, up to the 13th, and then from there we're going to jump to the 18th verse. So hear now the word of the Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, and say this with me, church, follow me. Follow me. And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at the dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." And moving on the 18th verse, while he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl got up, and the report of this spread through that district. Indeed, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Matthew's gospel today is a continuation of a long line of encounters of Jesus that immediately happened after the Sermon on the Mount. to read this gospel text as an isolated text or story would miss a massive movement happening in chapters 8 and 9. So here we see now Jesus coming down from the Sermon on the Mount, and he immediately thrusts into encounter after encounter. We see here in chapters before Matthew 9, and Jesus healing the leper, healing a centurion's servant, healing Peter's mother-in-law and others. Remember, stilling the storm, healing the Gerasene demoniacs, healing the paralytic. And now we're entering now on chapter 9, verse 9, where he calling Matthew the tax collector. And then after that, he ate with what? With whom? With tax collectors and sinners. Then after that, he debated with Pharisees over fasting, healing the woman suffering from hemorrhages, while on the way to raise the daughter of a leader of the synagogue from dead. And then he never stopped there. After that, he healed the two blind men and healed a mute man. So each of this interaction, each of this encounter of Jesus with the crowds and with the people, they all have scandal in it. And even today's texts that we are about to enter into, they're exploding with the scandalized ministry of Jesus. So let's come to the Lord in prayer as we dive in God's word today. Lord, thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit is already among us. Breathe into us your breath of life so that we may be receptive and your word penetrates in our hearts, in our minds, in our whole being today. In your name we pray. Amen. Has there been a moment in your life where you felt you were judged? You can just raise your hands. Has there been a moment in your life that you felt you were excluded? Or you felt you were already being labeled by association? Or by perception? I asked this question also at the awakenings, you know, and all of them raised their hands. And this kind of question set the stage for our diving into God's word this morning, because we see here in this text the scandalous nature of God's ministry in the person of Jesus Christ. The first scandal. Jesus invited whom? Matthew. As Jesus was walking along here, he saw Matthew, who was a tax collector. Let's stop here for a while. What comes into your mind when you hear about tax collectors in the gospel? Who said that? Crooks. Thank you. Praise. What else? They were not nice people. They have bad reputation, right? They're dishonest. Yeah. They're greedy. They're collaborators with what? With the Roman oppressors. Betrayers of their own people. And they often cheated people out of their money. In other words, you don't want your kids to grow up to become a tax collector, as the saying goes. That's why they are the kind of people that are often and quickly being what? Judged and labeled and excluded and condemned. But Jesus didn't do any of that. In fact, he went to Matthew, according to the Bible. He went to the Matthew. He encountered him. He saw him. He connected with him. And what comes next? He invited him. He invited him to follow him. Despite all the labels, the social stigma that comes from being a crook, from being a betrayer, a collaborator, dishonest, greedy, and all the bad things that you can label to this man, Jesus sees him as a worthy disciple. Think about that for a second, church. Maybe perhaps some of you are asking, why in the world Jesus doing that? That may be what in the head of the Pharisees and those that are plotting to do all things against what God is doing. I wonder what Matthew experienced within himself when Jesus saw and called him. Can you imagine? This man perhaps living a very isolated and lonely, sad life. Being labeled, and yet he saw him, talked to him, encountered him, and invited him. Not just for something to do, but invited him to be a disciple. Hope, self-worth, forgiveness, acceptance, new life. Friends, to be seen and called is powerful experience of healing. Have you experienced that? Every day the Matthews, we have Matthews of today that we are encountering, who are just sitting by the side, waiting to be called, waiting to be seen, waiting to be accepted for who they are. And sometimes we are the Matthews of today. We ourselves are also wanting to be seen and called. I wonder who are the Matthews here in Kitwell today that needs to be seen and to be heard from you and from me. I wonder who are the Matthews of today that needs acceptance because they've been already labeled, judged, and excluded by this neighborhood or this community. See, Matthew was accepted. His life was transformed that moment. He left his previous life behind and he chose to follow Jesus. Whatever Matthew experienced at that moment, whatever experience of Jesus he was, it was enough for him to get up and to follow without any hesitation. That was just the first scandalous nature of God's ministry. Jesus here never stopped. He moved on to the next. As we move along in the Bible, what happened next after his encounter with Matthew? So he dined in with the rest of the other tax collectors and went to Matthew's house and dined with other fellow tax collectors and sinners. And the Bible says Jesus sits in the house of Matthew, who has invited his friends, his fellow tax collector, to dinner with his new friend named Jesus. Everyone had a place at the table. It didn't matter who they were and what they had done, except to the religious authorities. It mattered to them. So they were interrupted. The religious authorities, according to the scripture, interrupted the dinner to know why Jesus would eat with tax collectors and sinners. See, during Jesus' time, the table fellowship is connected to communal relationships. It defined who did and who did not hold power and social status. In other words, who you ate with said who you were socially, economically, and spiritually. And it's no different from many of the tables we sit at today. So the Pharisees here ask a very legitimate question. Why is Jesus doing this? Why is he hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners? Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, and we should do the same. But who would that actually be? If we're being true to ourselves, who are the tax collectors of today? This means today Jesus would be welcoming perhaps those who are exploiting or profiting off of others in our communities, those who are gouging prices and exploiting the most underprivileged communities. Perhaps he would be hanging out with those corrupt government officials. Perhaps he would be hanging out with CEOs and bankers and sitting down with them for dinner. Think that for a second, church. Are we ready to sit down with the tax collectors of today and break bread with them as Jesus did? You see here the tension? See how scandalous this tension was? From the words of Matthew, who wants us to wrestle with this particular tension, how we are confronted with this, if we're willing to sit with it. Each of us has someone that we would exclude. And if we say differently, then we're not being honest with ourselves. So how do we reconcile the scandal of Jesus' inclusive welcome to all people, even those who we leave outside of the door? Our Matthew's gospel never stopped on scandal number two, because we are still yet going to see more and more scandalous nature of God's ministry as we move on to the third part. After Jesus invited Matthew and called him to follow him, after Jesus dined with the tax collectors and sinners, he now moving to scandal number three, where Jesus came to call sinners, not the righteous. He responded by saying that. In fact, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, as what the Bible says. But those who are sick. Do you hear what he's saying here? He's equating sinners with patients who are hurting and in need of healing. The scandalous nature of Jesus' ministry demonstrates radical hospitality. Setting a bigger table. Inverting hospitality. Blending the lines between guests and hosts, recalibrating power and seeking relationships with everyone, whether you're acceptable or not acceptable. That's what I like with the gathering. Yesterday I was talking with Kelly, and I said to Kelly, we don't care whether you're Baptist or not. We don't give any denominational label. Just come in. We're here for relationships. Amen? That's what I told her. That's what the gathering is. And that's what the journey is. That's what our ministry here at Plank Chapel Church. It's all about relationship. So Jesus here invited Matthew and invited him to be part of the discipleship work of God. He dines with tax collectors. He came to call sinners, not the righteous. And then scandal number 4, Jesus heals a woman suffering from hemorrhages and healing the daughter of the leader of the synagogue. In Jesus' time, healing the woman with hemorrhage was considered scandalous. You know what? You know why it was scandalous? According to the Jewish law? Because touching a woman with a menstrual issue was seen as a ritually unclean in the sight of Jewish law. But Jesus defied that. He shattered all the religious and cultural norm of his time. In fact, he even challenged the religious leaders' interpretation of the law. He broke gender dynamics because at that time women were often marginalized, and Jesus' attention to her defied every social expectations. And listen again to what Jesus said. He called her daughter. Did you notice that in the Bible? Can you imagine this woman who's been having hemorrhage for 12 years? Perhaps this was the first time she was called and heard a name called daughter. At that moment in time, this woman began to be included. She was accepted. See, church, Jesus here moves us from scandalous encounter after another, as if Matthew is quickly drawing a line in the sand, saying, if you're worried about the wideness of the kingdom of God, get over it, because it's just going to get wider. Jesus then blurred the line here of urgency and worthiness of attention. Purity versus impurity by healing the leader's daughter. Because if you touch the corpse without being ritually cleansed yourself after being touched by the woman suffering from hemorrhages, you're yet another doing a scandalous thing in the sight of the Jewish authorities. Friends, Jesus welcomes Matthew. He dines with tax collectors and sinners. He healed the woman with hemorrhages. He raised the girl from the dead. He accepted unacceptable people. He ate at the table of sinners. He honored shameful people and called sinners his sons and daughters. Jesus isn't just crossing social boundaries here. He's shattering them. This is the scandal of the gospel. This is an invitation for us to embrace the scandalous ministry of Jesus today. So the question for us as we prepare to be invited by the Lord at his table, what does that mean for you today? How might this change your perspective, your purpose, and your life today? And how might this change the way we are to be the church? Let us pray. As we prepare ourselves to meet you at the table, may the words that we have heard sink in, penetrates in our hearts. May the scandalous nature of your ministry reflects in what we say and what we do. As we unapologetically engage in a world that's in need, in dire need of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please follow along with the insert in your bulletins, the Great Thanksgiving. The table is for all of us, near and far, high and low, east and west, and north and south. This table is for all of us, but it is not our table. It's not a Methodist table. It's not an American table. It's God's table for all of us, and it's a table of grace. So come and take your place at the table. You are welcome. You are invited. You are called. Come, let us share the meal together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. Even when we were dust, when our story begins in dust, you were there. Your word was there. Your breath into us lifeless void. And upon your word, all creation sprang into life. When we were in the wilderness, terrified, timid, you were there. Your word was there, with manna just enough for today, with water even from the driest rock, with the abundant grace upon which our story always rests. And when we fell short, slaves to power and greed, you were there. Your word was there, on the lips of prophets and in the hearts of servants, in stories of revolution and revelation and liberation, calling us, even now, to acts of courage and witness and peace. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. You forever sing to the glory of your name, Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Indeed, blessed are you, O Christ, our Lord, for risking yourself among us, vulnerable and rejected, for teaching among us, teaching the radical hope of God, teaching grace to a world bent on vengeance, teaching love to a world bent on destruction, teaching peace to a world bent on tearing itself apart. You were there. Your word was there, even to the point of death itself. Even faced with terror and hatred and the brokenness of the world, you rose again to new life, to new creation, to resurrection, that we might know something other than the dust, that we might expect something other than the end, that we might work for something other than ourselves. And so speak to us with these abundant gifts of bread and wine, with which we joyfully celebrate your dying and rising, as we await the table of the kingdom yet to come, and as we dedicate ourselves again to you, thankful and transformed as living and holy sacrifices, that our lives may be proclaimed the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break together and the cup we share together may retell our common stories together and reshape our common bonds together, and remember our common grace together in the communion of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one in whose life and death you have torn down our divisions. And so may we be one with all who share this feast on this day, of all days, with all your children at every corner of your table. May we share this abundant cup with all those who thirst for your justice. May we share the abundant bread with all those who hunger with your righteousness. May we be united with every corner of your story, united in hope, united in vision, united in purpose, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us from this table to be the body of Christ in all the world. Send us with the spirit of courage a spirit of power and love, that we may be witnesses with all creation to the unending story of your word breathing life into the dust. Keep us faithful and fruitful and hopeful and peaceful until we come at last to the one table of your kingdom, to feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm, with you and with your word, through Christ and in Christ, the one who came for us, died for us, and rose for us, the one who prays even for us, the one who first taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The bread that we break, isn't this the sharing in the body of Christ? The cup over which we give thanks, isn't this the sharing in the blood of Christ? Stands in the body of Christ broken for you. Blood of Christ. Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you.
Christ's table is wide enough to welcome everyone. He sat down with the table sinners, with the misfits, with the undesirable, with the unacceptable, because the table is so big enough to welcome everyone. We're going to welcome first those who are in our choir and our worship leadership, and then continue to open this to the rest of our gathered community of faith. Broken for you, Miss Arlene. Susan, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Anne, the body of Christ broken for you. Joni, the body of Christ broken for you. Amen. Janet, the body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Pet, the body of Christ broken for you. Chuck, the body of Christ broken for you. Laura, the body of Christ broken for you, Laura. Wayne, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Faye, the body of Christ broken for you. Mamaline, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Roxy, the body of Christ broken for you. Jamie, the body of Christ broken for you. Christ broken for you. Christina, the body of Christ is broken. Scott, the body of Christ is broken for you. Miss Judy, the body of Christ is broken for you. Mac, the body of Christ is broken for you. Lorraine, the body of Christ is broken for you. Jamie, the body of Christ is broken for you. Mr. Henry, the body of Christ is broken for you, sir. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of this Holy Communion. May we gather only to be scattered, to be the presence of your living bread and the cup of your salvation to a world that is hungry and thirsty of knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sending hymn is number 369. Let's all join our voices together. If you're able, let us all stand. Number 369. The scandalized nature of Jesus' ministry is for us to embody them. It's for us to carry them in our everyday life so that we can challenge this world that Jesus' ministry is not convenience. It's not about niceness. But rather, we are called to be the transforming agent of Jesus into a world that is so hungry of knowing him. May we be bold and courageous. May we break all the social norms and be countercultural in our discipleship walk with God, knowing that the Holy Spirit will be with us. Go forth and reclaim the scandalized nature of God's ministry. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, and the communion of his Holy Spirit lives and reign with us now and forevermore.